Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And what a difference a week makes.
I know. You pointed out last week I was putting seed on the ground.
Yeah, you talked about it in last week's episode.
And now it has snowed twice, and so today we were out shoveling.
We got our cardio in.
Yeah, the snowblower still does not work, so it is loaded up and ready to be dropped off at the small engine place, which will be great.
Yes, tomorrow it goes in to get fixed, because it's
been three winters it hasn't worked?
Two.
Feels like three.
I know. And it's a large driveway.
Both broad and long.
Yeah, especially near the house where it connects to the three-car garage. Three-car, in theory, garage.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot. A lot of asphalt.
Yeah, and it was rough because with climate change, instead of it just being cold enough and it's snowing and just being snow on the ground, we're now getting what used to be like Iowa, Kansas winter weather, where it rains first and then it snows.
Yeah.
So there was a layer of ice underneath it. So we are still not salting, which is good for the environment. But it is treacherous.
Yes, it is.
So you will be the only one walking in and taking the garbage out, I feel.
Yep. Yeah. Other than that, you've had a long weekend. I had to work Black Friday.
You did. I've been up here since Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So we made a good Thanksgiving. It was tasty.
It really was.
Nothing, like, special, but the turkey was dry brining for a while and baked, and I thought it was still nice and juicy.
It was.
And then my family's sweet potato thing, which is just a lot of butter and sugar.
It really is. Yeah. You make a caramel.
With some orange juice and orange zest and cinnamon, and it's delicious.
But my plate was I was trying to hold it with, like, the three fingers trying to balance it, and my hand could not hold it because it was, like, 5 pounds of food.
You made really good mashed potatoes, and then on, was it Wednesday night, I made the cranberry sauce?
Yes.
Which is also pretty easy. You just wash and pick through some orange juice and orange zest. Not a whole lot of sugar needed, I feel.
No.
And a pear or two, depending on the size. So that was really good. And making a double batch is helpful because I feel like there's never enough cranberry sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, even my mom liked it, and she had never had cranberry sauce like that. She's always had the cans.
Yeah. So that was exciting.
Yeah. And then we baked yesterday. You made some cookies.
Yeah. I have a recipe from my grandma's notebook for Mrs. Coe's filled cookies. And it's the date-filled wheel ones.
Mm.
Except there's no method involved outside of, like, cream, butter, and sugar. Mix dry ingredients. Roll out. It makes three rolls. Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
But I think I should have divided it into thirds and then shilling and then rolled it out.
Maybe.
But it was very sticky, so they are not shaped great. But they're delicious.
They are.
I added some cardamom to them.
Yeah, dates have a lot of fiber.
Yes.
We learned that from the date package.
And potassium.
Interesting.
Which is good for your neurons.
Yeah. And I made some rolls.
Yeah.
From the America's Test Kitchen bread book.
They were very good.
They were. And a little bit of work, especially up front, like the mixing, because breads are finicky, so you really have to follow a recipe, especially America's Test Kitchen.
Because you know they put effort into making sure that this is the method that worked, these are the proportions that work.
Like, you mix it, and then you let the batter sit, or the dough, whatever it's called. The dough sit in the mixing bowl for 15 minutes before you add the salt and sugar. It just chills there. Just walk away.
Flour paste?
Yep. Flour paste with flour and yeast and the egg.
Oh.
And then it just rests there.
That makes sense. Give the yeast a little head start.
Yep. And then you add everything in, and then you use the dough hook and go for like 10 more minutes of mixing, and then you hand knead it, and I mean, it turns into a super buttery dough.
Yeah, it was super tasty.
Yeah.
Like, but I put butter on it, but I didn't necessarily need it.
No, because after they come out of the oven, you immediately, like, brush melted butter all over them.
Yes.
And it soaks in.
Yeah, which I guess I didn't realize that rolls could be greasy.
Yeah. They looked fake. Like, was sitting on that plate, you're like, these look like prop rolls from a TV show.
But they were super good, and they went with the soup that we made. I
No,
made.
we had the beef stew.
Oh, maybe in my head I just paired them with the soup.
Oh, yes.
'Cause that had the broth from the turkey.
And the Scarlet Runner beans that need to cook more, even now.
Yeah.
Like, to rewarm that, just throw it in a pot and let it go for like another hour.
I don't know about an hour. The smaller ones were fine, but there were a few of the bigger ones that were a little tough still.
Yes.
And so Scarlet Runner beans are beautiful dry beans. They are sort of lighter purple flecks around the outside and then a deeper purple. And so it's a little, the broth is a little bit gray. But they're also the size of lima beans. Like they
Yeah.
are not small.
No, they're not.
They're very different than the mother stollard beans that we made into another soup earlier in the week.
Yeah.
It's been.
And you caught up on comics, it seems,
Yeah,
judging by this pile.
there's a big stack.
You
I even started the 1980s Flash Gordon that you gave me.
Yeah, Dan Jurgens, Flash Gordon.
Dan Jurgens, who is at the Minnesota
Yeah,
Cons.
because he lives in Minnesota.
Yeah. I didn't know he had done a Flash Gordon thing, so now I have something to go up to his booth and talk to him about.
Yeah, an 8-issue miniseries, which, from your reactions, seems very 80s.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily age well in terms of like gender roles. Why is Flash Gordon a dick?
Oh.
But like he walked away from a car crash because he was speeding and
Oh.
didn't care about safety or anything.
Okay.
So not the greatest.
Well, you have to read the whole series.
Yeah, maybe there's more of a redemption thing coming up soon.
Maybe. So we are talking about three more issues of Alpha Flight, 61, 62, and 63.
While I sip hot chocolate.
Yes. I am not a person to come in from the cold and want a hot drink
I
after
mean,
doing physical activity.
my teeth are a little sore,
Oh.
but it's very good.
Your teeth are sore from what?
The temperature change from
Oh.
being out in, what is it, 20?
Yeah.
25?
There's a little bit of a breeze, but it's died down, I noticed.
And I definitely shed my coat and had to unzip my sweatshirt
Yeah.
partway through.
All
But
right.
yeah.
Issue 61 from August 1988 is entitled dot 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 Inquisition exclamation point. We got Bill Mantlo, Jim Lee, Al Milgrom, Bob Sharon, Janice Chang, and Carl Potts. Heather in her Vindicator suit and Madison with a box armor behind him are seated with a lawyer in front of a government panel inquiring into the recent events involving Alpha Flight. So we should probably recap. They were over in China.
Yes, they were in Live World fighting Dream Queen, and then a portal opened because Puck was talking to a High Lama, and the Chinese military was about to exterminate the Abbey.
Yes.
And then super powered beings appeared in Alpha Flight, and they were all fighting, and it almost turned into a whole big thing
But it didn't.
with nuclear weapons.
Yes. Press coverage is live and going out to the entire nation, with reactions to the team mixed amongst the public. Some supportive, others thinking they are a waste. Members of the public watching on television even mention some of their favorite members, all of whom are past members, which shows how out of touch the public is with the recent lineup changes.
I know I noticed North Star's my favorite, and then, well, who was the other one?
I don't know.
Snowbird?
I don't know. I'm reading this from the book I wrote.
Yeah,
If anyone would like it for a holiday gift, it is available on
no,
BarnesandNoble.com, which you can abbreviate to BN.com.
but I did clock it elsewhere when we get more towards the climax of all the politicking back and forth. But the rest of the team is fun. Purple Girl is in a purple trench coat and purple broad brimmed hat,
It's very fun.
and like light pink top, black pants, and like a dual gold belt situation. Like, does Demanda need to do this look? Would she be interested in the double belt situation?
Yes, I don't know about Purple Girl. We should ask her thoughts on Kara.
But it's a good look. Wanda has a full trench coat. Laura's dressed up
And
against the
her
cold.
hair. Demanda would love Wanda's hair.
Oh, it flowing
Yeah,
locks.
voluminous.
Yeah. Even Wit with his like yellow pants and big yellow boot, like he is dressed for the cold. And meanwhile, in a bright pink baby carriage with little clouds and some sort of smiling, oh, it's a sun. That makes sense for being amongst the clouds. Just goblin, just growling in a baby carriage.
So before we break off and get into shenanigans with that group, Heather's confronted with the satellite footage of the battle with Dream Queen. As the panel and the lawyer argue, Heather interjects and says she is not interested in being represented by a government-appointed lawyer, as the government itself was the one that released Bedlam and triggered the series of events that eventually led the team to China, which we're going all the way back to them going into space.
Yeah, we
That's
are.
how far back we're reaching. So this leads to questioning about how Jade Dragon, who is Dai Guan's superhero name, you remember, the dragon.
Yeah, he
Yeah,
seems cool.
Jade Dragon came to be involved with the team, and Heather retorts that they haven't even been allowed to talk to him since coming back to Canada. A politician tries to explain away the crater created by the battle with Tundra as a natural occurrence, but Heather denies this, then explains how Dream Queen was anything but natural.
It's giving climate change vibes, like with all the politicians who deny that it's happening.
So our group that you described are walking past a shop window, and they see the trial on all the TVs on display. They make their way to a bar slash restaurant where Puck used to work.
It's true, people still love him there.
They order some refreshments as the hearing is playing out on an overhead television behind the counter.
The technology in these images is just a hoot. The gigantic TV cameras that are big and boxy, the TVs that are big and boxy. It's so different. I also especially love that when they're ordering drinks, Goblin is passed over, and so when she's growling, Wit tries to cover her mouth and she just bites him. And there's like, oh, make that three.
At the hearing, Heather is pushed too far and unleashes some blasts at the furniture, after which Madison phases into the box armor and guards pull their guns on the duo. This brings to the forefront a dispute amongst the members of the panel, as some of the members have published anti-Alpha Flight propaganda. Back then, this would be out of character. Now it's just like any day with Republicans.
Blasting the dais? Or having the like very blatant, we published everything that we hate about
Yes,
everyone.
that. And
That's why it's
then,
called Project 2025.
and as the politicians debate if they should fund the team and how much control that would merit, the rest of the team is fending off locals at the bar. Wanda tries to pay for the team's snacks with her credit card, but it is still under Walter's name and turned down by the waitress as they don't take credit cards. As the team is surrounded by locals, Wanda transforms into Sasquatch and lifts the aggressive locals up on a table before the team beat a hasty retreat out into the snow. And this is one of the pages I have hanging on the wall. Page 9,
Yeah.
where Purple Girl uses her powers on some of them.
It's also fun because Laura's parents recognize her on the TV screen back in the US.
So the note on the original art, which you can see in my book available on BarnesandNoble.com,
Wink, wink.
says, "Color, dudes are purple." So that the colorist Bob Sharon wouldn't accidentally color them normal skin tones.
Oh, yes, as they're walking out because they were told to get lost and they even left their coats in the cafe.
So Heather is defending the team having taken money from the government as she thought was fitting for them to be paid for putting their lives on the line for the country. Legit.
Yeah.
As the courtroom drama continues, Wanda and company go to a bank where she finds out she is not allowed to retrieve her money because she isn't identified as Walter. The situation gets even messier as she transforms into Sasquatch and threatens some bankers. She's very agitated.
She is. And we should, there's some fun onomatopoeias
Okay.
in here. There's
Yeah.
some blam 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 of someone ringing a gavel, which is fun. And there's even some of the original team in a flashback where Vindicator is comparing the two teams of like, you don't like this team because you didn't choose them. Like, they weren't Department H approved members, and now it's entirely different. And they've got the Tundra in the background in front of the heroes, and even Pestilence and Dream Queen are there, and the alien looking thing, I'm guessing, is Bedlam.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a really great splash page. Is it
Yeah.
a splash page, even if it's just one page?
Yeah.
Cool.
Two pages is called a double page splash.
Oh, okay. So
As
yeah.
and then we get flashes of heroes from around the world watching the hearings as well.
Yeah, why are there two things? I'm very confused.
One of them is a woman.
The one that has the McDonald's logo on her outfit?
Yeah, it's Ms. Marvel. We won't get into it.
Oh. But it's your one of your favorites. It's Dane Whitman, the Black Knight with the Avengers, along with Marina.
Yeah, Marina's still around. Namor hasn't seemingly killed her yet.
Womp womp. But also Captain Proton. No, Photon.
Yes.
Yes.
But
You
that's
love.
Captain Marvel back then.
Oh. And She-Hulk.
Yes. It's a great lineup.
Yeah. Except for what's his face, who's a jerk.
Dr. Druid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No one likes Dr. Druid.
Yes. And there's even the X-Men. And I like that this is during their Outback era where they have to pretend that the X-Men are dead. And Storm is like, oh, you used to know them, didn't you, Wolverine? Where did it go? I'm aware that you harbor a certain affection, dot, dot, dot. We know what that dot, dot, dot
Yeah.
implies.
So Heather is continuing to lecture the panel on how she and her team have been met with suspicion and persecution instead of thanks for services rendered. Wanda's desperate for her money, and
Yeah, she can't get access to the stock. She slams a payphone down and she just grabs Wit and Kara by the jackets and is like, come on.
yep. At the hearing, Daiguan transforms into Jade Dragon and tries to explain his own circumstances and how the government shouldn't interfere with superpowered folks. Then the vote is nearing as to whether the government should continue funding the team. Heather pushes the table over and she's like, I don't want your fucking money.
Yeah, we'll continue to defend Canada our way.
And then
There's
Matt.
some fun thought bubbles between the people on the panel, like with their perspective of like, I never would have expected them to turn down the money. I thought you would beg for forgiveness. And like, but they have to accept, like, it's just a foregone conclusion that they'd be able to bring Alpha Flight to heel. The thought that Heather would be like, absolutely not. Never crossed their minds.
Yeah. Box is trailing Heather out of the hearing chamber and is approached by a politician and asked to be the leader of the government team. He's like, nope, and leaves with Heather, who has used the time to invite Jade Dragon to join the team.
Yeah. And he's like, I'll take a rain check. I have to figure some stuff out.
And on the streets of Ottawa, Heather proposes to Madison and they jet off.
It's true.
They're like, yeah, we're in love.
You know who's not in love? Walter's ex-wife with Wanda.
Yeah. So Wanda goes up to the doors of the mansion and she explains she gave her ex that she explains to the group that she gave this mansion to her ex-wife in the divorce.
It was an amicable split.
Yes. Veronica answers the door and threatens to call the police until Wanda drops facts only Walter could have known.
And then she's still like, you are the same man I loved and loathed. Fortunately, although I believe you, no one else will. Therefore, as far as the rest of the world is concerned, Walter Lankowski is dead, and his fabulous fortune will remain mine. Boo-hoo-hoo, evil rich person
And
laugh.
then she slams the door in the team's collective faces.
And Wanda is pissed.
Yeah, poor Wanda. In the letters column, Brian Kinney of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, thinks Heather's attitude is poor and is, quote, disliking her the more and more I see of her.
I mean, she's coming off a little more tarnished. Like, she
Yeah.
didn't have to blast the dais. She didn't have to flip the table.
No.
Like, way to make their case for them?
Yeah. He really likes Goblin, though, and advocates for a Tales of Puck series of stories to fill in the gaps of the character's past. An editorial admits that Puck is one of the most popular characters, and maybe enough fan mail would convince them to do a Puck-focused miniseries.
Oh, that's fun.
Eli Stifel, no address given, is critical of the way lots of characters were shuffled off the board rather than dealing with the problems relating to their tangled stories in the pages of the book.
You mean gay AIDS and a fairy realm?
Yes.
Yes.
62, issue 62, is entitled A Real Gone Daddy. I don't know
Oh.
what that means.
It's some sort of phrase. It's, oh crap, who's the band? Gone Daddy Gone. It shows up in
Do you
one.
mean Gon Burry Gon from the
No.
Lord of the Rings?
It's that band with the dude with the voice that's sort of
Oh,
annoying.
wow, okay. Really narrowed it down.
I
Pearl
know.
Jam?
I hate Pearl Jam, but no. Like more alternative rocky.
Pearl Jam?
It's gonna bother me.
What else do they sing?
Violet Femmes, I think.
The Violent Femmes?
Sure. Oh, I can't think of the name. I can hear it playing in my head, though.
Okay, if only you had a computer in your pocket. Anyway, this is September 1988. We have the same team, except Marcus McLaurin is now listed as associate editor. Zebediah Kilgrave. Do you know anything about Purple Man?
I know he was David Tennant in Jessica Jones, and she kicked his ass, and it was great because he was a terrible person.
Yes, that is the main takeaway that you should have about Purple Man.
He's like Mastermind, only
Rapier, possibly.
Plum.
Only Plum.
Like, I don't think there's. He's. I think he's one of those characters where there's nothing redeeming about him.
Yeah.
Like, is there anything redeeming about Mastermind? I'll probably have to ask Chad that question
I
since he has a
don't think
deeper
there's a
lore.
trial. You can listen to the trial of Mastermind.
Oh, yeah, maybe it'll be like Baron Zemo, who's also purple, where it's fives, fives, fives across the board. Five is guilty AF.
Baron Zemo has a purple sock on his head, though.
He does.
All right, so apparently he's alive. He's clawing his way out of the grave.
Yeah.
And he's monologuing.
Oh, yeah, he is. We find out that he was killed in something from Emperor Doom, like he's trapped in a little glass prism situation, and Namor punches through it and he's killed.
Sure.
Okay. And we get this, like, I like that how they changed the statuary in the cemetery to be Spider-Man, to be Daredevil, to be someone in, oh, that must be Moon Knight, like, holding a trumpet, because there has to be some connection to the original statues. So, like, Spider-Man also has a toga. But all those heroes that defeated him were there, and he's like, my once wife, and it's her in a statue form. And there's Purple Girl in statue form. We find out that Kara was the one who summoned him from the grave. My daughter, whose insipid summons somehow raised me from my rest. You want me, child? Very well, you shall have me, as he punches the head off the statue.
And then he brings out some other corpses to help him out.
Yeah, because I guess when you're dead, you can control other dead things?
Sure.
Question mark.
In her bedroom back home, Purple Girl awakens from a nightmare and startles Laura and Goblin, with whom she shares a bedroom.
I love that Goblin is like, oh, and question mark, and gets tangled in the sheets. Poor Goblin.
Goblin is really an MVP of this entire series.
Like, I just love her.
Yeah. And Purple Girl's mom comes in, and we find out that the nightmare was about her father.
Yeah.
And she goes on to explain why the three Beta Flight members are back home. The media fiasco that resulted from Heather, getting all violent in a government hearing, caused her and Mannequin and Mass and Jeffrey, like, they all had a tearful goodbye. And
It's true, at a train station.
yes, and she went home with Laura and Goblin.
I mean, there is, they do get violent with the press, which is never appropriate. And Box even traps them in a giant, like, fish tank. And Purple Girl uses her powers on them. But it is like a giant breakup scene because Wit, well, I guess literally and figuratively, because Wit is breaking up with her. And
That's fine.
yes, love that.
Yes. Should never have been needed, but here we are, and good move.
Yeah, so he's gonna go back to medicine,
He's gonna go back to being an adult doctor.
doing adult things, hopefully having adult relationships.
Oh.
So, yes. And then as they're leaving the train station, Kara go like has the one-on-one like, "Oh, Madison, you've been like a new dad to me." Blah. Alpha's been like a family. Blah.
And life has not been easy since they returned back. The kids in school are really mean.
Yep.
But the good news, at least for Kara's mother, is that the Purple Man died.
Yes.
And then Purple Girl went to her father's grave and wished he was still alive so she could meet him, which is what caused all of this.
I could prove it. If only you were still alive, Daddy. I want you to be alive, as a little green aura surrounds her head. Like, there are some powers activating, you know, because of the little green aura. And her mom is like, "You don't want that. Like, you would never, if you knew the man, you would never want that. He is better in the ground." And as she's explaining that, there's a decaying fist climbing up the railing outside the window, and he crashes through and says, "Honey, I'm home." What a dick. It's cold out, and he just broke the window.
Goblin slashes at some of the zombies. Purple Girl uses her powers to get her mother and Laura away from the scene. She tries to use her powers on the zombies, but they don't work.
Fun fact, Purple Man also tries to use his powers on them, and it doesn't work. He can't use his powers on the living while he is dead. Undead.
So Kara runs out of the increasingly destroyed apartment, and her father chases her out. Goblin, left behind in the apartment, watches as the other zombies crumble away into dust. So they get to a gas station, and
I thought it was the basement. Like, they're still in the apartment, and then she's trying to get to an elevator, and Purple Man smashes the elevator, but there's a doorway that says stairs.
oh.
And then she's going down.
I summarized a lot of this.
You did summarize a lot. Oh, it's the carport. That's where they're at.
Zombies into dust, Kara's crying at a gas pump.
Oh, you're right. Oh, why was there. I'm confused. Do you put a gas pump inside an apartment building in the parking structure below it? That seems like a recipe for.
An explosion.
Yes, that would never meet building code.
No. So, Purple Man explains he hates her because she's alive and he hates the living. You know. Sure.
And that's it. Like, there's no more than that, which is very strange.
Goblin catches up with the two of them, but he hoists her into the air before slamming her down onto the ground.
But why is Kara like, "Goblin, no, he's still my daddy." Girl, you should know he's
She
a
needs
terrible
therapy.
person.
You can't blame her for the mannequin thing, but
But you can blame
you
Mannequin.
can blame mannequin. That couldn't have been good for her psyche, then going away from her support network, being back home, and having some daddy issues.
But
She needs a counselor.
yeah, she does. She needs
There's a lot happening in her life that she needs to talk through.
Counselor Troy, who may or may not say, "Clear my calendar for the next month."
So, in the course of this fight, Goblin slashes gasoline lines, which come in handy as Purple Girl creates a spark with a tire iron, setting her father ablaze. He makes one final flaming lunge at both Purple Girl and Goblin before being burned away to ashes.
It's giving Mac vibes. Is that a dick thing to say?
No. But then we go out to the Yukon. If you want some whiplash, here you go.
I mean, but there is a nice panel with Goblin holding a weeping Kara. Again, Goblin MVP.
All right, we're at an archaeological dig. Elizabeth, two young men, sketches part of the dig and experiences a small surge of the talisman powers, which she thought were gone.
Yeah, and she sort of convinces herself it's just a migraine while ignoring a growing pile of glowing rocks. Both growing and glowing, which is terrible for someone like me who had trouble with R's and L sounds. And it ends, and I was like, great, next issue, give me some Elizabeth Two Young Men. I like that character. I want to know what she's been up to. But do we get it? No.
We get a fill-in issue. It's
Oh.
called Technomancer. It's written by James T. Hudnall, who will be taking over the series as of issue 67.
Oh, and four more issues.
Penciler is Hugh Haynes. Inks are Mike Gustavich and Don Hudson. Coloring Bob Scherer and Janice Chang, as always, is our letterer. And Carl Parts is our editor. Okay, this this is tangentially an Alpha Flight issue. It's definitely... I think that Bill Mantlo was probably behind on a deadline, and they're like, shit, we need a story.
And it's a whole different team. I mean, Janice is still there, but...
Yeah.
In terms of pencil and inkers...
Yep.
Yeah.
2 years prior to the present time, Ted Larkin, in Denver, Colorado, seeks a way out of financial insecurity by programming a computer virus and setting it loose in the world. Its purpose? To covertly siphon away small amounts of money from bank accounts into his own. The program will continue to crawl across bank networks around the world as the different institutions connect to one another to transfer funds, meaning Ted will be very wealthy in short order.
It's a legit floppy disk, like not the hard ones that we had in later elementary school, yeah. But like...
That could hold like
the actual floppies.
Yeah, like 1 gigabyte of data,
yeah.
Not even.
And that introduction parallels a little flashback with Madison about him meeting Box and how that first interaction went. Then we finally get the title page a few in with this creep with Technomancer on his cap.
So in the present day, Ted Larkin is living in luxury in Boulder, Colorado.
Which, not a bad place to hang out.
He's leisurely sipping a drink brought to him by an attractive woman, unaware that the virus he programmed is about to have unintended consequences. At the United States' Strategic Air Command in Kansas, a bank transfer to Colorado is arranged. The virus finds its way into the military computer system, which brings us to members of Alpha Flight.
Because after they're done with the bank, then they have to do something else with military stuff. And then they have to send a data stream to Madison. And we also get a flashback with Madison, too, with how his relationship with Roger Box fell apart. And the battle in Mansion Alpha. We see Puck. We see North Star. We see Purple Girl, like, during that team transition phase.
So Heather and Madison are living at 138 Laurier Drive. They're back, except they have the entire apartment building.
Yeah, it used to be just a rental.
Yep.
I thought it was a house.
No, it was... The neighbors below them took responsibility. They owned it.
Oh, that's right.
For selling the car.
Oh, yeah.
Madison has built a computer center in the basement, and with permission of the U.S. military, taps into their network to download the most up-to-date information on supervillains. What?
That would never fly.
Jim Hudnall did not read any Alpha Flight prior to writing this. He was like, who are my characters? Where do they live? Okay.
Where do they live? The answer came from the first few issues. Cool.
Yeah. So the virus hops to the box armor with Madison inside and takes control.
And the military person, like the underling... who is, of course, not listened to because they are an underling, was like, this data transfer is going slow. It's acting as if there was a data exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of just sending stuff to the bank was sending stuff to them, which was the virus. But no one actually caught it.
No.
The dude is like, we need to do these uploads to the nuclear missile place. And then we can do the Madison Jeffries transfer.
Mm-hmm. So... there's no money in the box armor for the program to take, so it instead finds any asset it can control.
Any units.
Okay, sure.
That's the terminology that Langston used and the program itself uses. Oh. And it's like an evil warlock. Like, it's big, got big eyes, it's got a big gaping mouth now.
It blasts a hole out of the house and starts flying south towards the international border with Madison, an unwilling passenger.
After having thrown Heather across the room.
Fucking rude. He tries to disable the suit from the inside, but is unsuccessful as the armor flies over the border. Military jets scramble to intercept the armor, but it thwarts their efforts, and the pilots are forced to eject from their crashing aircraft.
There's some fun art of Madison in the circuitry sort of thing. Like, it's very 80s coloring. But we get a lot of his thoughts about, like, okay, what's happening? What was that sensation? And he describes, electric hands grabbed my mind. There was light, color, a flame of sound, and a taste like grapefruit and cloves. But now I can think again. And he tries to problem solve his way through, and it doesn't quite work. Heather comes too. She startles at least two pigeons and a squirrel. When she does, she's like, oh, I've been out long enough for these birds to come into the house. And
They're looking for a snack.
they were looking for a snack or a place to hide their nuts. So they go, she goes off looking. She's like, well, I don't really want to have to like fly up and choose a direction, but I guess I'll need to. And then we get back into Madison versus the virus, who is now sentient because of the box armor. We love an AI story, question mark? I don't think we do.
The armor in the form of a jet lands at a base in Minot, North Dakota, where literally the only thing there is Minot State and an air base.
Yes, which apparently has nuclear missiles. Oh, and there's a train stop. When I took the train from Washington State back home again, there was a stop in Minot.
That makes sense.
I mean, it's pretty when you're coming back in because you get there like around sunrise-ish. And it's very pretty with all the sunrise against the snow.
Madison phases out, since it's now a robot, goes jet to robot. He phases out.
And he could see where he was. He gained the virus program gave him a little bit of outside view.
So he's not seen by responding soldiers and ducks into a nearby warehouse to find new combat suits the US Air Force has constructed. He uses his powers to build his own armor and buys himself time to battle. Like, he needs to go out and fight his own armor in his new armor that he constructs.
Yes, basically. So the virus robot is being kept busy by the Air Force robots or power battle suits. And that then we get like these little thought bubbles of like almost there, almost there, into a big reveal where it's the new box armor with Madison inside and a giant missile launcher that just goes kablooey. On,
He destroys his old armor.
yeah.
So he explains to the soldiers how he got into the base and defeated the armor.
With one sentence, I'm a superhero.
And then he goes back towards Canada, where Heather moves to intercept him.
Yep.
So back in Colorado.
And we don't even know like what's happening because Madison's thought process is that woman has a heck of a temper. I'd hate to have her thinking I tried to hurt her as she is barreling towards him, unbeknownst to him. And but we don't find out what happens when they collide slash meet because we're back with Langston and the creeper is escorting a lady out of his apartment. Meanwhile, a missile
You mean Larkin?
Larkin. That was
Langston.
Langston. Oh, Lofton was the evil politician before, so I must have just mixed up the names.
So at least she gets out before a missile targets his house.
Yeah. Like, some soldiers are talking about how they had just done a data transfer with the main base, and then all of a sudden the missile fires. So now there's just a rogue AI in all this military hardware.
In Moscow, a covert operative delivers the latest computer program he stole from the US Air Force to his handler. This is never followed up on.
Wait.
Just so you know.
Oh, okay, good. Because
This is a dead storyline, and I don't think anyone would ever be interested in actually picking it up.
like, what's up with this now sentient AI virus running around military hardware? And that's that.
In the letters page, let's talk about a letter from Jeff Acton, no address given, is glad the title got rid of, quote, the sickos and quacks, and goes on to list Puck, Aurora, and North Star by name.
Wow. There's some 1980s homophobia there.
Fuck you, Jeff Acton. Josh Miller of York Springs, Pennsylvania, is a Marina superfan and mounts a spirited defense of just how she could never have been the Leviathan. He writes she is actually alive and available to come back to Alpha Flight. Oh. So I guess, you know, Namor just killed her. The one thing I did like about this issue is that it gave Madison something else to do other than
Moon a over Carrie, Heather?
A Heather storyline or a Kara storyline.
Oh. Like,
he actually did something.
I mean, that's true.
Good to see him in action. But other than that, there's not a lot to this story.
And I was caught up in my annoyance that there wasn't the immediate follow-up with Elizabeth.
Yes.
But on the cover of the next one, it's a God War, and there's Snowbird, and Sasquatch, and Tundra.
Don't worry, the next episode we go to probate court.
What? Oh, for Wanda trying to pursue
yeah.
getting her assets.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. We have 3 issues of Mantlo left.
Wow.
Yeah. And one of them's real weird.
Oh. Does Elizabeth come back in them?
Elizabeth comes back.
Oh,
like, good. This is the slow build to Elizabeth being front and center for quite a few issues. Like, she is a very important character.
Oh, good.
In the Hutnell run.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, don't you worry. She's coming back.
We were talking to someone at FlameCon, and they were like, I love Talisman.
Yeah.
Was it Demanda or was it someone else?
I don't know.
I think it was someone else.
People love Talisman.
Yeah.
Elizabeth is a beloved character.
I wonder what she's up to these days.
Okay, so she was used in a book that Marcy wrote. I was on an episode of Chad's Patreon with Marcy.
Oh.
All about, what was it about? Dream Queen, duh. And she wrote a novel that includes Talisman.
Oh, good.
In a very prominent role, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't in the X-Men Alpha Flight stuff.
No.
Where members of the OG team are in jail.
And now, like, apparently there's a Wolverine issue coming out in February that has some of them.
Oh.
And it pictures Vindicator, but is it the evil Nazi Vindicator? Because if so, I'm not interested.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Because Heather is in a coma these days.
Right. She's been in a coma at this point in our years, like 3 years.
Was it really that long since the fall?
Yeah. Two or 3 years.
Weird.
Yeah.
Time is weird, especially with like the post-Krakoa stuff.
Yeah, which...
And the fall.
I mean, I'm not reading much. I'm not reading any of this current Age of Apocalypse Redux thing happening right now in mutant books. I'm just not interested.
None of it was particularly compelling?
And it doesn't matter. Like, that's the thing. You put all your titles on hold for 3 months for something that won't have many, if any, ramifications.
Yeah, that's not really a great incentive to read them.
No. So, it's... I might read Gale's Uncanny when it comes back because she's been hyping up like some really fun and unexpected stuff that fans will love is going to happen when we come back.
Okay.
So I might keep that on the pull list, but like when we get the emails from First Aid Comics down in Chicago, Hyde Park, where my book signing is later this month, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
If folks are in the Chicagoland area, find me 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday, December 20th. At First Aid Comics in Hyde Park. Anyway, we get their weekly emails so we can see what's coming out the following week.
Yeah.
And Marvel, consistently, I have one or none titles being pulled.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly have plenty of DC things.
Yes. KO is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like all the tie-ins.
And I'm still on mostly indie stuff.
Yeah.
The Star Trek Space Ghost. I really want there to be a second season or second volume.
They're calling it seasons, and I don't understand where that nomenclature came from for comic books.
Since it was only 5, and it would be great if it would come back.
For which?
Captain Planet.
Oh, yeah.
But I did enjoy the Poison Ivy annual, even though my coworker did not. They were sort of in the same vein as Captain Planet, but Captain Planet was much more hopeful.
Yes.
And, like, ordinary people can have a big difference. And she thought it was depressing because the green was continuing to retreat
Oh.
from the world.
Yeah, it gets Swamp Thing.
Yeah. And I took heart from Poison Ivy being like, well, I'm going to continue to fight. Like, it's still worth it.
Yeah.
So, Roots of Madness is great.
Stephanie Williams.
Stephanie Williams knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. And has that Uhura issue
Yeah,
coming up in February.
very excited for alternate reality Uhura.
Yes.
And it's not like Calvin, it's its own like
Yeah.
what could have been.
Yeah. Like a what if. It's
Yeah.
basically what if Star Trek version.
Yeah. So that's super exciting.
And.
I know she has some other books coming out too, but Roots of Madness was the one that the like 80s sci-fi adventure Blastoids, like I will probably end up checking it out,
Yeah.
but not in the same way as like historical family mystical drama.
Yeah.
So.
Which anything that starts set in Chicago
Oh.
with an African American family, sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. And.
I'm sporting a shirt done by Brett White because I bothered him.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, can you make some Alpha Flight
Some
shirts?
Alpha Flight shirts from
The Mantlo
the
era.
Mantlo era. So,
Yes. There, have you. I should ask Chad if he ever imagined he would see mannequin on a shirt because.
I mean, technically, there's four.
Yeah, Proto's right there.
Highbrow is next to him to the left.
Ape Man over here.
Yeah. And Purple Girl.
And Wanda.
And Wanda.
So.
That's fun.
Yeah. And I've been reading current comics. I have caught up on a lot.
Yeah, you have a big stack that you were working through, plus some Rawhide Kids.
Yeah, lots of westerns. So.
Some you found that are very problematic, but for the most part, he's just fighting outlaws, which is
He
fine.
is. Yeah. I mean, it's 60s and 70s, so there are going to be like fights with Native Americans sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
Or with Mexican forces.
Oh.
But by and large, it's just like bad white people, which we're still confronting that today.
I mean, considering the time and the whole like reverence for manifest destiny,
Yeah.
it's better than what it could be. It
Yes.
could be off the charts offensive,
Yes, it
which I
could. But it's not.
it's only
So,
occasionally.
yeah. So, I think that's about it.
Yeah, we'll see if there's any baking projects before the next episode, since there's no garden projects
I know.
outside of winter seeding. At the new year, I need to take the nanny berry seeds out of the refrigerator
Oh, let
and,
them warm up a little.
yeah, put them in front of the heat vent since
Oh.
there's a high chair, so one of the steps is at just the right height. That way, it'll get the warm stratification it needs before it goes outside in March.
Oh.
I'm doing like 2 months of each since
Okay.
it's a double dormancy, so it
Yeah.
needs cold, hot, cold.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because the dream is to create a whole hedge of them.
That'd be fun.
Plus, there's some great St. John's worts already stratifying in the fridge and the other stuff. So, prioritizing Blazing Star for more monarchs, more cardinal flower for the hummingbirds. And I feel like there was something else. Oh, the spring ephemerals.
Oh,
Seeing if we can get more
yeah.
pasque flower for those early emerging insects to have some food.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Upwards and onwards.
Yeah. And buckle up. It's going to be a busy week. And then we'll be back.
It's true.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Be well.
Bye.